And welcome to another glorious, fantastic, unbelievable episode of Burning River Radio.
Well, that's more of a positive
My
start
name
than
is
I would have
Mike.
got to.
Well, yeah, I mean, considering you sent an email to me saying that my
No,
predictions.
let's just get on with our names.
Okay. I'll drop that. I am Mike Melaragno, along with Joey Koblitz. And we are here to provide you with the latest Indians analysis and probably a couple of jokes along the way as well.
All right. And of course, you remember that we are part of burningriverbaseball.com, and this is the oral part where we'll talk to you and annoy you that way instead of just making you read shit.
Oh, hey, thanks for reminding me. I forgot that we were part of Burning
Know you
RiverBaseball.com.
did. Sometimes it's weird. You got so many affiliations, you never know what's going on. Anyway,
Yeah.
I'd like to start talking today. I'd like to talk about the future. We always talk about the past. Today I'd like to talk about the future, meaning basically tomorrow, which is the 1st of May, and the next couple days after that. The Indians have a couple guys coming off the disabled list soon, and they have a guy getting promoted from AAA, so they will have to make some roster moves. So basically, just wondering, who is going to get cut? Who's going to go away to make room for first Michael Bourne? Or possibly Trevor Bauer. They should be coming back about the same time. And then later, Brett Myers.
Right. Well, you scared me there for a second. You said you wanted to talk about the future. You started to sound like my old high school guidance counselor. I was wondering where you're going with that, but
Well, I think you talk about the near future, and then maybe later we'll talk about the further future. Like later is in like a half hour or so. I don't know.
okay. Yeah. Well, the good news is the Indians are getting somebody off of the disabled list coming up soon that they desperately need, and you can tell that his presence is definitely missed in the lineup
Holy shit,
in
yes,
Michael Bourne.
it's so huge.
Yeah,
And just
that's what she said.
yeah, I'm sure. But yeah, he was such a big thing on top of that on top of the lineup, just to be able to get on base at 30% of the time, which is something not that many people on the roster can do right now. And to be able to put him up there and bump everybody back will obviously make the lineup just that much better all the way through, and the defense too. I mean, Ryan Rayburn's been filling in all right in right field, but you'd much rather have Drew Stubbs over there.
Well, I guess when you're looking at the start of the discussion here, it's going to come down to, with Michael Bourne coming off the DL, it's going to come down to whether or not, despite Rayburn's fantastic game yesterday, whether he's going to stay on the roster or they're going to send one of the relief pitchers down.
Well, actually, they're going to have to send a pitcher down anyway for Bauer. So I'd like to just assume that it's going to be a position player, and that you're just stuck between Mike Aviles, Ryan Rayburn, and Jason Giambi as the only three bench guys right now. So it's got to be one of those three guys. It's not going to be Aviles. He's obviously the best out of those. So you're talking about Ryan Rayburn or Jason Giambi. Now, this year, Ryan Rayburn has been much better than Jason Giambi, and he can play in the outfield. Jason Giambi, he can't play anything but the batter's box at this point. He can't play run into first. He can't play,
Well, yeah, I mean, we can go back. You wanted to talk about the future, but Travis Hafner's not having that bad of a year in New York. We made fun of him in our first episode, and we elected to go with Jason Giambi as opposed to Travis Hafner. Even Hafner coming off the bench, I think, would have been a better option than Giambi coming off the bench.
It would have been, but I think they'd picked Giambi because if they would have had Hafner, they would have wanted to use him about as much as they're using Giambi, and he would not have been happy with that. They also would have wanted to pay him as much as they're paying Giambi, and he would have been happy with that either.
I understand that. But here's the thing. We talk about one of the few reasons why coming out of breaking camp, all we heard about Jason Giambi was his leadership ability. And that's why the Indians wanted to bring him along so they could mentor some of the hitters on the team. And of course, this is the first time we've talked about this on this particular Burning River Radio episode. You and I have talked about it a lot on the phone and through email. But you can't quantify leadership ability. And if you're not producing on the field, if you're not playing every day, heck, if you're not even playing hardly once a week and you're taking up one of those valuable 25-man spots, then what's the point? So I think
And
Jason,
that's,
and I think Jason Giambi therefore is a good candidate to go down.
yeah, and there's another point to this. If they really want him for his leadership ability, all you have to do is say he's special assistant to Terry Francona or something along those lines, and he could stay with the team and he could sit on the bench and he can wear a uniform. He just won't be able to play any games. And I don't really, he's not going to go play for Columbus. That would be way too crazy for someone his age to go down, other than on maybe a rehab injury assignment or something like that. He's not going to go down there and play for a month waiting for someone else to get
Yeah, he would
her.
retire before he went down to Columbus.
So you're talking about he's done from baseball, or he's traded to a team that decided that they needed a guy off the bench who could hit a home run at any point. But I mean, to me, he is the odd man out. It's just the weird thing is that if you send him down to bring up Bourne, he's gone forever. That's why they put him on the DL to start the year. It wasn't because he was hurt. It was because he would be gone forever if they didn't put him on the DL. And they didn't have enough room on the roster, and they figured, well, something's going to happen in the first week, and something did. So they
Right.
were able to bring him off.
But I mean, if you're not contributing on the field, you can be a leader, but if you're not contributing on the field, see, in my opinion, a good leader is somebody that has been around. I'm talking about baseball here, okay? A good leader is somebody who has been around long enough to be considered a veteran, so played at least probably 5 plus years. I don't know who would be considered a veteran, but who also plays every day. So people can see and quantify exactly why he is a leader. Now,
So you basically described Nick Swisher, and I don't really think he's a good leader. He's not the guy I would want leading people. I don't mind him on the field, but
I think Nick Swisher is the team leader.
he might be.
I
He's
think
a,
that's why
I
they
mean, I
brought him
guess
in,
I
because
can
not
see why
only
Jason Kipnis and them would relate to him. He's
Well,
their
yeah,
kind
I
of
mean
style of person.
Well, he's upbeat, he's positive, he plays every day, and he's arguably, one can argue that he's been so far outside of Carlos Santana, probably the best hitter on the team consistently, on
I
a
would say
consistent.
Renf is better than Swisher.
But Swisher is, I mean, but Swisher, he's made a lot more contact. I think he has a higher on-base percentage so far.
He may, but I mean Reynolds leads in all
Yeah.
the production stats. He leads in runs
I
scored,
understand.
home runs, and RBI. You can't do much better than that.
I understand.
But I would say Santana's been better than him.
So I really think that Jason Giambi is going to be the odd man. It's going to be Giambi or Rayburn. We've been around long enough to know that just because one particular player has had a good game doesn't necessarily translate to him staying with the club for an extended period of time.
Oh yeah, and I mean it was probably a fluke yesterday. He hit two home runs. That's just crazy. I will bring up another possibility. What happened earlier this season, at the beginning of the year, Nick Hagedorn was set to break camp with the team, and he didn't break camp with the team because they decided to put Scott Kazmir on the disabled list. It was originally supposed to be Kazmir was going to start in Columbus. Hagedorn was going to be on the team. And then 4 games in, they were gonna basically put Carrasco down to AAA, and bring Kazmir up. Something, or flipping around somewhere like that. But what happened? They brought up Kazmir to start the year. Hagedorn had to be put in AAA. Now Rich Hill is also on the team, and if you look between Rich Hill and Nick Hagedorn, there's no question that Hagedorn's a better pitcher. And the way they've been used this year is they've been using Hagedorn as a full inning pitcher, or for the most part, or even sometimes a multiple inning pitcher, and Hill has been used as a single batter or two batter set match man. So obviously they have more confidence in Hagedorn and facing not only lefties but righties than they do in Hill, but for some reason, instead of dropping Hill, they dropped Hagedorn to start the year. And that was because if they drop Hill, he's gone forever. So you got to think about that with Giambi too. Would they maybe drop a guy like? Well, I think Corey Kluber is going to go down for Trevor Bauer. So would they drop a guy like I don't Matt Albers or something like that in order to keep that extra bench guy?
Well, it sounds like that Terry and the rest of the front office really like their bullpen and everybody in that bullpen. I don't
Well,
think
who
that they're
wouldn't?
gonna Well, I don't think they're going to mess because Terry Francona loves bullpen depth. He'd rather have bullpen depth over bench depth. And
Oh yeah,
if you look at
especially when your
Turner.
team is good. If your starting nine is good, then you don't need the bench as much. Well, I guess the same is true. If your starting five rotation is good, then you don't need the bullpen as much. But obviously, the Indians' offensive lineup is more consistent than their
Yeah.
pitching staff, which is really scary, but
And the organizational philosophy on how to build a roster is sort of mine too, and that is, you look for positional players that offer more flexibility. Like if you look at the 25-man roster, if you go to Indians.com and look at the 25-man roster, you see only three outfielders. What you don't realize is Nick Swisher can also play outfield. So you've got that flexibility there too. So when Bourne comes off, you're gonna have, so if you send Rayburn down, for instance, you still have four outfielders. So sending an outfielder down doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be short-staffing your outfield
Yeah,
depth.
and another thing I've been wondering about is Mike Aviles is obviously a better hitter than Rayburn is. He's also a better defender. But in spring training, they made a huge deal. Mike Aviles has to be able to play the outfield. It's such a big deal. Like, he has to be able to play out there right left field. And he did. And I watched him, and he played outfield, and he was fine. He wasn't great. He wasn't whatever. He was fine. He didn't make any big mistakes. And yet, every single game that they've needed an extra outfielder, it's been Ryan Rayburn. They've never put Aviles in the outfield. So I don't know why that is exactly. For some reason, a lot of times they've played the same games, which also doesn't really make sense. It means they're like giving two guys off the same day, two starters off, or they start all the starters.
Right.
So I mean to me, like if you do drop Rayburn, you use Aviles as the fourth outfielder.
Well, yeah, he can also play the outfield as well. So, I mean, they've got positional flexibility. And, this whole discussion is centered around fringe quadruple A players anyway. So, in the grand scheme of
Well, that's what
things,
it should
when,
be.
yeah, in the grand scheme of things, the
You
Indians
don't want to have to
roster,
talk about.
well, the in the grand scheme of things, no matter who the Indians send down, their roster, their 25-man roster, is getting better. It's improving because Bourne is coming off the DL, is the way you got to look at it. So, I mean, there's nothing
Oh
but.
yeah,
So this
absolutely.
is nothing but positive. It doesn't matter who they send down.
And you don't really want to have to talk about like, oh, should they send down Lonnie Chisenhall or something like that, because that then you're messing with your actual starting lineup. So I mean, we really should there shouldn't be any debate on the starting nine. The debate is the bench guys. Those are the guys you're questioning.
I think they should send down Michael
He's finally starting to hit again.
Brantley.
I think it was putting him in that leadoff spot that really sparked him up. I actually Now this is maybe controversial, but I would like them to leave him as like the number two or three hitter and bump Kipnis down. Because Kipnis has really been struggling all year, and he did hit one he had his first home run last night.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think he would really benefit from hitting seventh. And during spring training, everything, yeah, I said he should have been the number two hitter. I'm changing my mind now, and I think that maybe he could spend a little time lower in the lineup.
What's interesting, because that's one of the things I really wanted to talk about, and that's sort of a segue into what I wanted to talk about real quick too,
Go ahead.
has been the lineup construction in the past couple of weeks. I completely agree with you, and my philosophy is that I have never been a if you bat number two, you should stay number two, leave a hitter there and let him settle in. I've never believed in that. Never. I think if you are struggling, you should move down in the lineup because that gives you less at bats and it takes the pressure off of you. And I totally agree. Jason Kipnis,
It depends on the situation. But
Jason
yeah.
Kip, well, as a general rule, Jason
Yeah.
Kipnis has been struggling. And hitting at the top of the lineup has, as he has been, hasn't been doing the Indians any favors at all. As a matter of fact, he's been put in some situations where he's killed some rallies as well. And
Yeah.
putting him.
And actually, I want to bring up a stat real quick. Because that's what I like to do. You'd expect Nick Swisher as the number three hitter generally to lead the team in RBI, but he doesn't. And you'd expect Carlos Santana as the number four hitter most of the year to be like up there one or two, but he's not. Mark Reynolds is because Nick Swisher and Carlos Santana keep getting on
Right.
base, and Reynolds is knocking them in. It's not the three guys getting on base, and that's a
It is.
huge problem. And that's your Kipnis and Cabrera, and Cabrera's is on like a AM hitting streak. Has really turned things around. You leave Cabrera right where he is, to me, and you got to move Kipnis.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Obviously, you don't move him down to eight or nine, but you at least, I would say, you put him six or seven. and let him get
Well,
out
but
of his funk. And you know, and
Brantley was hitting fifth, so you could just switch him.
that's a good point. Yeah, I didn't look at it that way. That's an excellent point. You can just, yeah, I mean, you can flip him and Brantley, and you're sort of not missing a beat.
Yeah, and it's not messing with the whole lineup because he doesn't want to mess with the whole lineup and the continuity and everything. So you're still keeping your general thing with him either hitting, well, fifth or sixth, so he could bat sixth behind Reynolds, and that would be fine. I'm sure Kipnis wouldn't be offended by it. Obviously, like Grady used to be pissed when they moved
Yeah.
him around.
Well, yeah, and I mean, can you imagine Bourne and Brantley 1 and 2?
Yeah, I'd love to
Yeah,
see that.
I think that would be dynamic at the top of the order. I mean, I think that lineup would start to score more consistent runs because Bourne and Brantley can get on base. And set.
Oh yeah. And Brantley actually Brantley's got a better on base percentage career wise than Bourne does. So if you're really just looking for a guy to get on early, now Bourne's gonna steal more bases, but maybe that's what you want. You want Bourne to get on, steal a base, Brantley to get a hit, and then start bringing up those big guys to knock him
That's what she said.
in. Did she? Who said that to you?
Oh, I have a lot of girls that say that to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Just looking at the lineup, this is being recorded before the game one of the Philly series, and you know what? I nailed it in my series preview again. Jason Giambi basically owns Roy Halladay. He's had 72 at bats against him and has hit 7 home runs. He's hitting above 300 in all the slash categories, and he's in the lineup tonight. We were just talking about him. He's DHing.
Well, that's, I mean, when you've got Bourne coming back in a few days, you might as well get as much use out of Giambi as you can. I mean, he is good at hitting home runs, and whether he's going to bat 150, I think that's exactly what you expect him to do coming into the season. So if he can hit one out today, that would be great. Just enjoy it.
I think he.
I almost say if he hits a home run, then take him out of the game because that's all he was
Let
going to
him
do anyway. So you just wait till he hits it and then
tip
take
his
him out.
hat, make a bow, do a little dance, and that's his Indians career.
I actually did want to talk about your prediction or your old series
Okay.
previews today and the predictions you've been making. You just started making them like
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, where you would predict the outcome of the series. So I have
Okay.
those here. You're very negative, nasty, horrible person, and you picked the first one you did for was the White Sox series, and you picked the Indians to go 1-2, saying that they were going to win Masterson game and then lose the rest of the series. Well, they had a rainout, so they couldn't fulfill your destiny, but they went 1-1, and they tied and run scored 5-5. So it's not like they were getting killed. Like if you were saying they're gonna win 1-2, you would think that they were gonna get outscored total in the two games, but they actually tied 1-1, and it looked like there was no reason they couldn't have won the next one, and they won the first series against Chicago, so there's no real reason to think that Chicago's better than them. So anyway, that was that one. And then you picked the Kansas City series, which they actually did play all four games in, and the Indians split. And you picked them to go 1-3. So that's the second time in a row that you've picked the Indians to do poorly, and they actually did better than you thought. And they won the whole road trip. They finished above 500 on a road trip, which is always a goal for you when you go on the road.
But let me defend myself here. I was only one game off in my predictions because we don't know.
Okay, but they're only three
I
game
understand that.
series.
And Kansas City was a 4-game series. But so I was only one game
Well,
off. I
yeah.
said the Indians would go 1 and 2 against Chicago. They went 1 and 1, but there was a rain out there, so we don't know. Okay. So you can't
Yeah.
count that game. We just don't know. And as far as run score is concerned,
Yeah.
I mean, the Indians could have won game. I'm just hypothetically, they could win game one of a series 20-0 and then lose 1-0 series to series games 2 and 3. And obviously the Indians outscore.
Yeah, but I think generally when you're predicting, you usually would say that if you think one team is better than the other, then you're not thinking that one team
Right.
is going to
Well,
win by 20 runs.
first of all, it's hard to predict series, okay?
Well,
I know
you've
because
never done it before. You
it's
started
fun.
3 weeks
I
ago.
like being criticized, and I like being criticized. This is fun.
Okay.
And then the
Okay,
second
well, I'll keep
series, okay, I
criticizing
was
you.
wrong. The Indians would lose 3 out of the 4. They split. So I was only one. So technically, I was only one game off in these past two series.
Okay, but we'll have to see
Yeah, but
what happens
you do
in the
realize that the
makeup
Indians,
of that
yeah, well,
Chicago
they make it.
series.
Well, are you really gonna count that whenever that game is made up? No. But
No.
I said
No, because
I
you'll
said the
predict it
Indians were
again
going to get
later.
swept by the
I
Phillies,
guess the
and they're, I mean, all right, but they're
Yes, that's what
playing
I
Ray
was talking
Holiday
about.
and they're playing Cliff Lee back to back.
Yes. And neither of these pitchers are as good as they were back when they won their Cy Youngs. And the Phillies as a team are nowhere near as good as they used to be. So it's not like some given. Yes, if they had played this game a few years ago, obviously you would be heavily favoring the Phillies to sweep. But I don't think that's the case. And the fact is, McAllister is the second best starting pitcher on this team right now, and he is very capable of going through this entire season and keeping an ERA of around 3.5. If the Indians can score like they have the last two games where they scored 19 runs, there's no reason they couldn't win with McAllister on the mound. To me, if they score 5 runs today, they should win. And you should be able to score at least two, three off Lee, and then maybe a couple of more off the bullpen. Now the Halliday game is different, and we didn't really get into the Bauer roster move, because I think they're going to send Kluber down, who pitched the
Oh
last
yeah,
start against Kansas
definitely.
City on Sunday.
He has been.
Kluber's been fantastic. Every time they used him, out of the bullpen, in short relief, in long relief, and then as a starter. Each time he's come out is a completely different situation, and each time he's been great. So, to punish him for that, but there's really no choice in that because he's one of the few guys, not a long-term rotation guy. You had initially said that you're going to bring up Daisuke, for
Right.
today's start. He got placed on the disabled list,
I
for
one thing
Columbus.
sidebar here. Don't think that it would be better for Major League Baseball to have a 7-game disabled list as opposed to a 15-game disabled list. I know you can make players. I know you can
Well, they
make
do
players
have the concussion DL.
retroactive. I think it. Don't you think it'd be a little bit more fan friendly as well to put players on a 7-game disabled list as opposed to a 15-game? I mean, 15 games. I mean, that's over 2 weeks. Anyway, it's just a random thought.
Yeah, but I think, but the point of yeah, but the point of that is, so you don't, a guy stubs his toe, you don't put him in the DL, you know? It's actually got to be something real to put a guy there. Like, I mean, they put Bourne there, and they got benefited by having two rainouts, essentially, when he was on the DL, and they had multiple off days. So he can actually come back earlier than you would expect him to as far as the game number of the series season, and he's not ready. Like, he could come back today, but he's not ready. So and his was a pretty mild injury. He got a cut on his finger. It just happened to be in a place where he can't hold a bat, really. So they had to wait till the cut was
I'm
completely
just saying, just
healed.
a
They
side
couldn't wait
note.
till it
But
was
getting back on
partially
Corey
healed.
Kluber, yeah, I mean Kluber,
Yeah.
and I made it perfectly clear too. I'm a big Corey Kluber fan. I think Corey Kluber can be successful if they put him in a starting rotation, which I think is where he belongs, or if they put him in the bullpen. I mean, the dude hasn't walked a guy his last two starts. He didn't walk a guy.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I don't believe some people will say you play who's hot.
You don't
And
think
I
Corey
don't
Kluber's hot?
really believe that because
Yeah.
I sexy or
No. Well,
no, I don't.
now that Jason Collins has come out of the
He,
closet,
he's no Jason
is that going to
Kipnis.
open up the door for you too? No pun intended. Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I don't really believe in hot or cold streaks necessarily in baseball. I mean, in general, it's not like anyone ever bats 1,000 for a week. There's players are gonna get out, they're gonna get hits, they're gonna allow runs, they're gonna strike out people. You're generally who you are the whole time. I don't believe that Kluber is starting rotation in Major League
Interesting.
Baseball talent. But I
What
think
makes you
right
think that
now he's
he's
their best
not
option.
good enough to play consistently in a Major League Baseball
Just
rotation?
in the last 2 years, just watching him in the last couple of years, I think he's the worst of the guys that are
Interesting. So you
out
think
there of those
Corey
five guys.
Kluber, it sounds like what you're saying is Corey Kluber is one of these quad A players.
Yeah, or a long reliever or something like that, where he doesn't have to see guys 4 times through the lineup or 3 times through the lineup, however many
Interesting,
times you
because
see
I
guys
think he has
nowadays.
the repertoire.
But yeah,
Did I say that correctly? Repertoire. Yeah, I think he has the repertoire. I mean, he
Sure.
throws multiple pitches. He's got a excellent. What I think would make him a very good starting pitcher was he's got an excellent slider. And I mean, with some seasoning, I think he would he'd be a very good starting pitcher.
Well, and I guess I think on Sunday he did hit 94, which I didn't think he could do. So he did have some power behind it. It's just in general, I definitely didn't see it last year. This year's been different to this point, but it's only three games, and really, it's only one start, and he pitched four innings in the Scott Kazmir game where they won 19-6 or whatever, and he was perfect. Like he destroyed that game. Really was like two completely separate games. It was against Houston, because it was like the Indians won the first game 19-6 and won the second game 1-0. It's like the first game was five innings and the second game was four innings because the pitchers used were completely different. The hitting was just disappeared after like the fifth inning.
Well,
It was really crazy.
ever since Kluber
And
developed that
Kluber was part of
changeup,
that.
which is a very good changeup, he's got three out pitches that he can go to, and he did hit 94. I mean, he threw mid-90s in the Texas League a couple of years ago. The dude is a stud, and I think he can become a very productive, I would say, two or three pitcher. I really think
Yeah,
so.
and you call Masterson a three
Justin
pitcher, so
Masterson, think about it.
that's not.
Going into the well, but
Your
Justin
rating
Masterson
system may be a
only
little off.
throws two pitches, and sooner or later, that's going to catch up to him
But he gets
as a
people out.
starter. As
Well,
a
he caught up to him
closer, I
last
made it
year, but all of a
perfectly clear.
sudden
As
he's
a
good again
closer, that's
this year,
perfect. I
so.
think Justin Masterson would be a lights out dominant closer.
I completely disagree with you on that one. Because I you just you when you have a guy who can throw six innings and get people out for six innings or seven innings or whatever, you have to use him as a starter. You can't waste that on one inning. You're talking about a difference of 140 innings a year. That's that you have to use a guy like that as a starter just because he can get people out. If all of a sudden he can't get people out and he's got a 6 ERA, then sure, go ahead and throw him in the bullpen if you have to. Like Jose Mesa or whatever. But in general, if you have a guy who's a good pitcher, you want him as a starter. It's weird that they have guys now like Chris Perez and Vinny Pastano, who you would never even consider putting in the starting rotation, but are just
I'd consider
dominant
putting
lights
Chris
out.
Perez in the starting rotation.
Like those guys.
I'm just kidding.
I wouldn't. I Well, I mean, even when they have those guys pitch two innings, a lot of times they look bad in the second inning. They're really best off just getting that one inning, or a couple outs or whatever they need to do to get out of the inning. And when they use them like that, man, it's like the game's six innings long. They can use
And that's
Smith,
why going back
Pastano,
to
and
our
Perez.
roster
That's
wheel
it.
decision, that's why I wouldn't be that concerned if they decided to send a pitcher like Matt Albers or Shaw down.
Yeah, Albers. No, Shaw's great. You must not have looked at his numbers this year. Like he has an 87 ERA. It's ridiculous. He struck out more guys than anybody else on the team.
Well,
Or no, except for Allen, who's pitched in long relief. But yeah, he's been great. Albers is the odd man out, and Rich Hill is the number two guy. Who? But I mean, I really like having two left-handers. I love that Francona can put in Rich Hill. Get a left-hander out, then put in Shaw, get a right-hander out, then go to Hagedorn, and he can pitch the rest of the
Yeah,
inning or whatever. Or,
and
he
you
can
can
pitch
do all
that
that
inning and
all
the
before the
next inning.
seventh inning.
Yeah, that's what I say. Because, well, Pestano's going to pitch against everybody, and so is Perez. So those guys are it doesn't matter what hand they throw with. But when you have your early guys, it's really nice that they can match up like that and not have to worry about. Not having a second guy. So, I mean, that's the thing you're going to lose if you lose Hill. If you lose Albers, you're really not losing anything. Cody Allen wasn't throwing three innings last year. He's thrown three innings this year. So, if you have a starter go out in the fourth, you can bring Allen in and throw two innings, and then you're right back into your regular bullpen. So, you don't necessarily need to have Albers as an extra guy. And I think they still have eight people in the bullpen. So that would
Yeah,
be the extra guy is
to
Albers.
me, especially with the big three back there, that's all you really need. And, you know, now we're getting to that point in the season where you're going to need some extra position players, so.
Yeah, and who's more valuable to the team, Jason
Jason
Giambi or
Giambi
Matt
tonight, at least,
Albers?
against
I'd have to
Halladay.
say
And then
Giambi.
after that, probably Matt Albers.
But
Yeah, so
Interleague
you're
play
it's...
is starting up soon. They got they're going to Philly on the 14th of next month, and then they're going to Cincinnati on the 27th. So they have it's only four games, but they do have the four games, and they're going to need pinch hitters and
Yeah, you're gonna have
whatever.
some
And it would be
valuable
nice to have
switches,
Giambi
so
for those series.
you're gonna need some pinch hitters coming off the bench. It's a pretty good point, but don't forget you're gonna lose the DH. So who? I mean, so you would think, so you're gonna have.
Well, no, but the starting lineup is going to look like last week's did. You're going to have Swisher in right field, Reynolds at first base, and Stubbs on the bench. And then maybe the next day you'll have Swisher at first, Reynolds at third, and Chisenhall on the bench. But you're only going to lose
Yeah, Stubbs
Stubbs or
on the
Chisenhall.
bench.
You're
I
never
mean,
going to lose
he
Reynolds or
is
Swisher.
perfect coming off the bench in a pinch running situation.
Yeah. Because then you have
Yeah,
to worry
we
about him
haven't
batting
heard from him
200 and
much
striking
besides
out
all
30
his
times
strikeouts recently.
in
I
a
mean, he's
month.
batting ninth. It's interesting because the team as a whole, and I think you brought up a pretty good point the other day, and sort of segueing into one of the other things that I'd actually written down. And that is the fact that this team isn't running as much on the bases as everybody thought that they were going to.
Yeah, and they just started a little bit. Kipnis has stolen a couple bases now. Carlos Santana tried to steal a base yesterday. That was kind of funny. And he did steal a
He
base on
got a pretty good
Sunday,
jump on that ball,
which
too.
was crazy. That's worth talking about. If nobody's seen this, on Sunday, I can't remember who was up now. I think it was Reynolds maybe was up, and he check swung. Santana's on first. It's a full count. Check swing. Starts walking to second because he thought it was a ball. The umpire calls it a strike. The catcher hears him call it a strike. He throws it to second. Santana's just walking. You know, he's not running. He's walking to there. So the second baseman catches the ball, runs over to tag Santana. Santana jukes him out like he's Marshall Faulk or something, and then keeps running to second. Because he didn't run backwards, like he didn't run back to the first, he juked him and kept running to second. The second baseman now is on the first base side, throws it to the shortstop covering, throws it into left field, and whoever is on third at that point scored. Actually, no, I think Reynolds was on third, so someone else must have been up to bat. So Reynolds scored from third. Santana was safe at second, and they gave him a stolen base, which
Yeah, I didn't watch the
is
Pittsfield
nice of them,
game.
I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a good one. And then yesterday, they had a hit and run with Ryan Rayburn up to bat, which was a good idea for he went 4 for 4, so you know he could put the ball in play. He at that point he had been 1 for 1 with a single, so you know he's going to put the ball in play. So they do a hit and run. He swings through it, looks awful, and Santana's out by 10 feet. So it wasn't. It's gonna that one goes down as a caught stealing, which again isn't really fair. I mean, truthfully, if you're gonna count as, if you're trying to count base running stats, like how good a base runner are you, then neither of those should count. Because the first one, he thought it was a walk, so he was just walking there, and he got to steal. The second one, he gets a caught stealing. It was
Yeah.
supposed to be
So basically, what you're saying,
hit and
well,
run,
I
so
mean,
it's the batter's fault that he got out, not
would it
his.
be, do you think that he should be credited with the stolen base if the batter swings and misses and the base runner is safe at second?
No, obviously he should have been credited for a caught stealing because that's what happened.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that if you're looking at is he a good base runner or not, then you shouldn't be looking at
Yeah.
those stats because they had nothing to do with it. And he's not a good base runner, so you don't really have to worry about it. Yes, he does take an extra base every once in a while, but in general he's not an above average base runner, so you don't have to really think about that stuff. Now Kipnis, like I said, Kipnis stole a couple bases. Cabrera stole the base last week, but in general, you're talking about, you know, two. I think the max guy is two. I'll look it up real quick, but there's nobody that has very many steals at this point. And I didn't expect him to get 60 steals this year, but I was expecting 40. Okay, Kipnis has 4 steals, and 2 of them are the last
Yeah.
week, and Stubbs has 3. Nobody else has more than one. Two of the guys who have one
Yeah.
are Mark Reynolds
So he's a.
and Carlos Santana, who we just said how he got that one.
So
So
Santana's
Bourne
among
also
the
has
team
one, and
leaders in
Eddie
stolen
Cabrera's got
bases.
one. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, I need to add him on my fantasy team now, as a stolen base
Yeah,
threat.
he's tied for third. Well, yeah. I guess we need to
Yeah.
include this too. Michael Brantley got caught stealing, but doesn't have any steals. So they've been caught stealing 4 times as a team, and have like 12 steals. So I mean, that's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 steals. So it's a good
No, I
percent.
think it's right. Do you think
But
the fact that the Indians
just not as
have
much as you think it would be.
their offense has been so Jekyll and Hyde this season, where they'll blow out teams and then go they'll blow out a team and then the next 2 or 3 games go hitless, or seem like they go hitless. I mean because when the team is up
Oh yeah.
by 5 runs or
I would say
more, obviously the stolen base rate per plate appearance is going to go way down as opposed to when the game's close. I mean, we talked about that on one of our first episodes, so I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, and I will say this, Kipnis stole those he stole th stole 3 of his 4 bases in the Chicago series. And the Chicago series was a 3-2 Indians win and a 2-3 Indians loss. The reason he was stealing was because it was close. You don't steal the last 2 games. The Indians have won by a total of 19-3.
Yeah.
They didn't steal in those games. There's no other than the Santana
Right.
weirdness. But you don't steal when you're winning by 10 runs. And you don't steal when you're losing by 10 runs, which they lost the game before that 9-0. So the steals are coming in the close games, and they did have 4 games in a row that were decided by 1 run. So those games were the ones where they were starting to steal a little bit. You saw Stubbs and Kipnis really starting, and Cabrera got his during that stretch too. So those 4 games, close games, they're finally starting to steal. Then they have 3 in a row against Philly that are all blowouts. I don't think that these games against Philly are going to be blowouts. I think Philly is kind of turned into more of a small ball team. I really haven't seen them play at all because they don't. They're a Florida spring training team, so I didn't see them in spring training. I don't watch National League baseball during the year, and except for I saw a game in San Diego and some in Phoenix. So unless they're playing the
Well,
Diamondbacks and that one game
this
I
team
saw in San
actually
Diego,
reminds me a
I'm not really
lot
going to
of
see a
Boston
National
Red
League
Sox
game.
last year, where they've got a lot of
So.
big names still on the roster, but these names, yeah, how about that? That's
And they
crazy.
were in third
They're gonna go
place.
for their 19th win, which would be, I think, fifth. I think what I saw from Elias this morning, they win if the Boston Red Sox win tonight, it'll be their 19th win in April, which would be, I think, fifth all time in Major League Baseball for most wins in April. No. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Philly, because I was saying that the
Yeah, they
Philly
remind me
is
a
in
ton
third
of the
place
Red
right now,
Sox. They've got a lot
like
of big
Boston was last
names
year
that
until
we all
they ended
remember
the
from
season
their
last
World
last.
Series, their back-to-back World Series appearances. But they're so old, as I pointed out in my preview.
Oh wow, they do have a really big name. They have Ezekiel Carrera playing right field for them. He's played in 13 games. I know. I just brought it up. He's batting 77, so that's a good. That means he gets on base 77% of the time, right?
Yeah, he's a big name. Ryan Howard's a big name. He had
Chase
a big
Utley
guy.
is. Oh, he's hitting almost 300 with 4 homers, so
And
he's doing.
he's.
But Howard, I've heard, is not doing very well. I don't even. He's batting .286
Yeah,
in
but
his 3
it's been the
homers, so that's
bullpen
okay.
that has wrecked
At least
the
he's not
Phillies'
injured.
havoc so far this season. I mean, Papelbon, I mean, they are ready to run Papelbon out of town in Philly. That's how bad it's gotten. So here's the thing to watch in the series, if you're listening to this before the start of the series, is
Which is probably impossible, but
okay. Yeah, I'll take it as
go
a
for it
prediction.
anyway.
Is if this game
We'll just take it as a
if the
prediction.
Phillies are only 1 or 2 runs ahead going into the eighth or ninth inning, look out. Because there might be a lot of fun in the corner of Carnegie and Ontario, because that back end of that Phillies bullpen stinks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's not that much of a gimme when you're talking about Lee and Halliday. And both Lee and Halliday, if I remember correctly, even back to their primes, are
Oh
not
no.
really complete game pitchers. Lee is more than Halliday.
Well, but it's more of the
But you don't
innings that
really expect them
Halliday
to
has
come out and
logged in his
pitch more than
career. I
7
mean,
innings.
Halliday and Lee are innings eaters. I mean, that's all they do. They pitch to contact, they have really control, and they log a lot of innings, and they do so quickly. These are going to be really f both those pitchers
Yeah, they do,
they
but
have
they I don't
they have the
they still
potential
don't
to. Both
pitch
those pitchers have
full
the potential
games.
to.
It's not It's not like a Verlander though, where Verlander will go out there and throw 120 pitches and doesn't care. Where he wants to finish out the game. It's more like the Indians pitchers now, where none of them will ever finish a game, even if they're throwing a shutout like Ubaldo did yesterday. And I really don't want to talk about Ubaldo, because every time you ever say something good about
Are you talking
Ubaldo,
about me
he will come out his
specifically?
next start and make you look like an idiot. So I will not say anything. No, I'm talking about everybody in the world. If you ever compliment Ubaldo, then his next start, he will suck, because that's what he does, is he has a good start and then he has two or three bad starts. So he's gonna do that again. And I'm gonna say in his next start, he's gonna be absolutely terrible. And if he's good, then I'll be
Yeah.
happy to be wrong, because I'd much rather
Well,
see the Indians win than have me be
I don't
right about him
even know
being
where to begin
terrible.
with Ubaldo. Is it Ubaldo or Ubaldo? I think it's Ubaldo. Jimenez. Jizzy.
I don't know. I still haven't
Ubaldo
figured out how
Jizzy.
to say his last name
Jimenez.
either.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah, that's why
let's just both
Jimenez,
agree and
Jimenez,
say that
one
Ubaldo
of
is
those
going to
things.
absolutely stink his next start. Because I mean, we're just going from what we've seen in the past. Being Jekyll and Hyde, I mean, one good start, one bad start, one good start, one bad start. So Ubaldo is going to stink next game, and we got to come to expect that.
Yeah. And he actually had two bad ones. He had great opening day, then he had two really, really bad starts, then he had one
Yeah.
okay start, and then he had a great start. So now he's going back to being bad for three starts, and then he'll be good again. So I mean, maybe they just I is there a way he
Here's a
could pitch
question
those
for you.
games against minor league
Let's go
teams?
back 2
Is there
years,
some way he could,
okay?
you know,
Let's
skip
say
every
today
couple
you were
starts?
offered Ubaldo for Alex
That's a
White
long
and
time.
Drew Pomeranz. Would you make that deal now, knowing what you know? Even though they've done nothing and they've done nothing but stink in the Colorado system.
No. No. Yeah, because I don't know. I'd rather take that risk with the young guys than the old guys. Because, you know, even like Jeremy Guthrie, who we saw on Sunday with the Royals, is now all of a sudden pitching like he's an ace. And he pitched that early game and shut out the Indians. Makes no sense. How can he shut out the Indians the next game? They scored 9 runs or 10 runs, and then the day after that they do the same thing again. But he did, and he was an Indians' number one draft pick back a few years ago, and they gave up on him, and he went to Baltimore, and he's actually had a pretty good career. So I think you can be the both Pomeranz and White were first round draft picks. You can be a first round draft pick, flop your first couple years. But you're still talented, or else
Yeah.
you wouldn't have been that first round draft pick in the first place. And
Well,
then
I
they
mean,
can
he was
come back
demoted. I mean,
and be better.
Pomeranz
So I'd
was
much
demoted to
rather have
AAA.
those
Alex
guys.
White has done nothing over in Colorado. So far, that deal has been sort of like a thorn in the side to both teams right now. As a matter of fact, I would argue, obviously, I would argue, well, but I would argue
Wait,
that
if you're going
trade
to
has
talk about winners
helped
or
the
losers,
Indians
yeah,
more than it's hurt the
they're both
Indians.
losers.
Would you agree? Well,
I
who would
don't
be in
see
the
how it
starting
could have,
rotation
because
now if they
no,
didn't have Ubaldo, though?
because Ubaldo's been negative. They would have been
But what
better off
is
with nothing. Anybody, they got it could have been Corey Kluber. You know, that you could just pick a guy, Eric Berger, who they trade. How about Steven Wright, who was starting for the fucking Red Sox, and they traded him last year for nobody. And that one drove me nuts. And no one else heard about this trade except for me, because I'm looking at the minor league stats every day. Anyway, that's enough about the guys who are long gone. We actually have some really good minor leaguers that are in the system right now, and I know you wanted to talk about a couple of them.
Oh yeah, definitely two in particular, and it's a good problem that the Indians have. It's if you guys have been paying attention, those who are listening have been paying
I'm paying
attention to the
attention.
farm system. You're always paying attention. You do nothing but pay attention,
Yep.
pretty much. But they have two guys playing shortstop that have started the season very well, and they both play defensive shortstop extremely well. And that's Francisco Lindor, of course, the Indians' number one pick from a year ago, and Dorsey's Paulino. And it's been good seasons for both these guys. Both these guys are still teenagers and both playing very good baseball. And it's going to be interesting because not too many organizations have top caliber shortstops at their minor league system, particularly guys that can play defense and hit
Yeah,
very well.
I can speak on Lindor a little bit. I did see him play in spring training. The Indians used him during major league games. Well, he was never in camp. He wasn't one of the guys that they invited to camp, but he was one of the guys that they used a lot in games late after all the starters went home and were going out and eating dinner and whatever. He stayed around, played the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. Him and Tyler Naquin was another guy, and he was out there a lot. I saw him play a lot of shortstop, and I'm telling you that he was making plays that Asdrubal doesn't dream about making. And the fact that, like, he is so much better defensively than anyone that's currently on the Indians infield. Like, there's no one else who's playing infield for the Indians right now that can compete with this guy, and there hasn't been since Omar. He's smooth. He's flawless out there, and to me, that means all you got to do is wait for the bat, which is so much easier to get better at hitting than it is to get better at fielding. I don't think, in general, I mean, it depends on how, flexible the player is and that type of thing. But in general, like, remember past experiments, like when they put Mike Piazza and try to make him into a first baseman and he couldn't catch a baseball. It's a lot harder to train a guy than it is to just have him be there already.
Right.
And he's there already.
Well, you've had the chance to see Lindor on a consistent basis. It seems to me that Lindor, out of the two players I'd mentioned, Lindor seems to be the more true shortstop
Yeah, and I will tell you,
of the future.
I saw Paulino last year in the Arizona Summer League, and he was playing shortstop, and that whole team looked like crap. And I don't know if it's their fault. I think every rookie league team looks like crap. There's just errors all over the place. They never catch runners stealing. They just, like, just the whole game is a much sloppier version of baseball. It's still entertaining, and you gotta assume that there's probably at least one guy on every team who's gonna eventually make it big. And if there was a guy on that team, it may have been Dorsey's Paulino. It also could have been someone else, but you never know. But it was probably Paulino was up there, and Jorge Martinez was another guy that was great for that team last year, and they're both playing for Lake County this year.
Yeah, so Lake County has had its share of seeing two of, in my opinion, Major League Baseball's next pretty good shortstops. Whether they're both with the Indians or one of them's with another team or both of them are with another team.
Actually, Lindor's with the Mudcats right now in Carolina, and that roster is crazy good. They have a lot of guys from last year's draft, like Joe Wendell and Tyler Naquin, are there. They basically just skip levels because Paulino's been in the system for 2 years now, and so is Lindor. But a lot of the other guys that are on that Mudcats team are just first full. This is their first full year, so it's pretty cool to see those guys coming up so quick. Maybe you're talking about ending the year in Akron, and then maybe by next year at some point they're in Columbus. So you're talking about 2, 3 years away at this point.
But Paulino, I'm just as high on Paulino as I am Francisco Lindor. He might not have quite the makeup that Lindor has, but from what I've seen of him, and of course I've only seen YouTube videos on him hit and field, he's got a really short, compact swing, and it looks like he has just such simple swing mechanics that he's just basically see ball, hit ball. And I really envision him with probably plus contact with about average power going forward. And whereas Lindor, I sort of see him with probably a little bit more power than Paulino, But the point of this whole conversation is that the Indians have two big assets at shortstop, young assets at shortstop, that we don't have to worry about not seeing them for a while. One, because you've got Drubal at shortstop, but two, both these guys are still teenagers and playing very well as teenagers. I'm trying to pull up Paulino's stats
They're not that
from
good.
last
Oh, from
year.
last year?
Well, but from last year in short season as a 17-year-old, his slash stats, which obviously are our batting average, on
Yeah.
base percentage, slugging percentage, 333, 380, and 558 at
Yeah,
short
that's
season.
good. And he was one of the top minor leaguers. And one thing that's interesting in this logjam, where they've got so many guys for so few positions, and of course you always have more shortstops being drafted than any other position because every college team and high school team puts their best guy at shortstop. So those guys a lot of times will come up and switch positions. But one of the Indians' top 10 prospects coming in this year was Tony Wolters, and he's a second baseman. Now he's a catcher. They didn't even say kind of, oh, you're going to play a little catcher and you're playing a little second. No, he's full-time 100% catcher, and Joe Wendell, who was drafted last year, is their full-time second baseman, and he's hitting 426 for the Mudcats. So that was probably a good move. But the fact is, then now you still got Wendell and Lindor, that's second and short, and then your third baseman. Maybe you're talking about Paulino, coming up behind them. But it's really that's a full infield, and you expect Kipnis to be on the team still when these guys are starting to make their breaks up to the team. So that'll be an interesting mix-up too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Tony Walters, I mean, obviously going to catcher, he with the lack of, I would say that the Indians have a lack of catching depth,
Yes, they do. That's why they
arm
just
system.
traded for
It's
Chris Wallace from Houston.
right. So yeah, if I'm Tony Walters too, I would jump at the opportunity to play catcher. It's a new position he has to learn, but after seeing him, after watching him play, he's definitely athletic enough to make that switch and to make it pretty well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Another guy like it, you heard about Justin Tool, right?
Yeah, of course.
He's a nice guy. He could play anywhere, so he could always be the catcher of the future, or he could be the pitcher of the future, or the center fielder. You never really know.
It's really interesting. Right after the steroid era here, getting off topic just a little bit, but it still concerns the Indians. We're basically, if you were to agree, were to agree with me that we're basically just now leaving the steroid era. We might have left it maybe a couple of years ago, but we're just now leaving the steroid era, and I think baseball is getting more exciting because now baseball is turning back to more athletic, fast, young
Yeah.
players
Well, tell
as
Scott
opposed
Posudnik
to
that you couldn't steal bases during the steroid era. And tell Kenny Lofton that too.
but as a whole, I mean, stolen bases have gone up in the last couple of years, or stolen base attempts, I should say. But I think it makes the game more exciting than seeing fat old guys whose careers have been
I actually
extended
like
because
fat
they're on
old guy.
steroids. Well,
I like your Frank Thomas.
make sure your wife Jen doesn't know about that.
Okay.
I don't want to know what websites you've been visiting recently.
Something about Jim Thome.
But anyway, and I think it's making the game more exciting. I know looking at some of the Indians' prospects that are in the system, the Indians have certainly followed what the other Major League Baseball teams have been doing, and they've been getting more athletic, speed guys with the focus more on defense.
All right, you gonna let me get my line off about Justin Tool?
Go ahead.
I really want him to make the team so we can call him a nine-tool player.
Yeah.
Because his name's Tool and he plays all nine positions.
Well,
That was it.
hopefully he's not a tool.
Well, his name's
But
Tool.
I get your joke.
All right. And now you love this. You love the shortstops. And I gotta say something about two first basemen. First base has been a position of, I don't know, detriment, just awfulness. The past decade, since Thome left, the Indians have not had a first baseman. They've had Ben Broussard. They've had Ryan Garko.
Yeah.
Casey
You liked
Blake played
Garko,
there
though.
a little bit. I did like Garko, but he's not a power hitter. And you always want to have a big, fat, old guy at first, smashing the ball around. And there was a guy I saw at spring training this year that he looks like a monster. He dwar he was standing next to Mark Reynolds, and I swear he had 6 inches on him and 100 pounds. Like, he just, you're talking about the next coming of Frank Thomas. And his name is Jesus Aguilar, and the guy is a fucking beast. And he has 25 RBI in April for the Akron Arrows. He played for the Mudcats last year, and I believe he won like Offensive Player of the Year or something for them. He is just destroying. He actually had 20 ribbies like a week ago, so he's cooled down a little bit in the last week. But man, this guy is something really, really special, and I can't wait to see him come. And hopefully this year, I would love to see him come up this year and take Giambi's place as that guy, even if it's as a September call-up, as that guy who can come in late in the game and maybe take one swing. Because I'm telling you, he can rake.
Are you sure he's not the second coming of Willie Pena?
You know, I only saw him take batting practice. Well, no, I saw him play in a few games. He didn't do that much in the games. Mike McDade was actually much better, who's a shorter, fatter version of him. But
Well, because scouts were comparing Willie Pena to Frank Thomas when he first came up too.
yeah. Well, I don't really like Willie Pena, but that's a personal issue I have with him, and we've discussed it at length, me and Willie Mo,
Who would have
and.
thought? Who would have thought that you would have ever have liked a guy by the name of Jesus?
Yeah, I do. As Jesus Aguilar, I can't wait for the first coming of Jesus Aguilar. And just to throw out there, give credit to another first baseman in Akron, Chun Chen. He's a Japanese fellow, I believe, batting 342. He's also a first baseman. So I'm assuming, I haven't seen any Akron games this year. I'm assuming they're alternating DH first base between the two of them. But man, just to have two guys better than any prospects that they have had at first in a decade and have two of them at the same time. And it's the same thing as a shortstop thing. To have two guys at the same time after nothing for so long is really crazy.
Actually, Chun Chen is Taiwanese.
Is he?
Yeah, he's not
I see, I
he's
don't know
not Chinese.
anything
See,
about him. Oh, okay.
Japanese players are end their names with usually an I, like Suzuki, or an A, like Kawasaka. Chen,
Okay.
I mean Chen Chu, Korean, Taiwanese.
Yeah, because Taiwan is right next to Korea, too.
Yeah, it is. But speaking of Korea, I have a joke for you.
Okay.
Yeah, why did chicken cross the road?
Go ahead.
Because North Korea's missiles can't reach that far.
Okay, we're not doing political stuff.
Boom. Anyway, do you have anything more to add on Chun Chen?
On Chun Chen, no, not really. I just and it, but the one thing is, every guy we mentioned is from Lake County to Akron. That's A, high A, and double A. Triple A is a mess. There's basically nothing there to look forward to. I mean, there's a couple guys like Tim Fedorov and Mike McDade who were maybe like quadruple A type guys who could come up. Fedorov could be a fourth outfielder. McDade could be a pinch hitter. They're not ever gonna really turn into anything. And then they have their full guys like Roberto Perez and Omer Santos, you know, who are catchers that have been around forever, and they've got Daisuke and Fernando Nieve. All these guys are former pros that are kind of just hanging around waiting for somebody to die so they get a shot in the bigs. But you know, and Santos did get a shot because Marcin and Santana got hurt at the same time. So they brought up Santos. He played one game, and then they sent him back down and kept Gomes, which is a good idea, because Santos is hitting 143 in AAA. So you probably don't want him up into pros. But I mean, in general, AAA is empty, and they should be just waiting for these guys. And to me, I mean, I see no problem. Why don't you release some of these Jeremy Hermitas and Matt Carsons, and let's bring up some of these younger guys from the minors. They have been doing some promotions over the past week, I've been noticing. If you follow on Twitter, the different teams, like the official Indians account, the official Akron Arrows account, that type of thing, they'll tell you who's been moving up and down. And there have been some people moving up as of the last week or so. mostly to take up the place of the people the Indians have been stealing from Columbus. They take Columbus away and they don't replace him with Marcin. They put Marcin on the DL, so now all of a sudden Columbus needs another catcher. So they brought up Chris Wallace, who the Indians just got from Houston. And I mean, Chris Wallace, he's not going to
And you know, we're
be a
yeah, and the Indians are also stealing Trevor Bauer away from them too, and he's been pitching pretty well down there. The big reason why that the Clippers are probably not going to repeat again as International League champions is because they don't have Russ Kanzler on the team.
Yeah,
I
and
mean,
they
that's
wanted Jason Giambi, and they couldn't get him. They
Mm-hmm.
tried, they tried to sign him,
Yeah.
and they just didn't have it. They did get Matt Capps. That was a big signing for them. And
Yeah.
Dice K, like I said, he's a pretty big signing. David Huff, they got him. They made a waiver claim on him after the Indians released him, and.
Yeah. They might even make a they might even make a waiver claim on old Aaron Laffey's, who just recently got released.
Did he really? I didn't see that. I hope they bring him back
Yeah,
soon because
Aaron Laffey got released. Well, it's a
I have an
possibility
autographed
that
Aaron Laffey jersey.
it's a possibility with Bauer being called up, all of a sudden the Columbus has a lack of starting pitching depth, so I would not
Plus,
be
he's a
surprised.
lefty, and he's one of those slow, soft-throwing lefties like a Jamie Moyer that you think could last 40 years if they last a
Yeah.
day.
I remember when Laffey first came up in 2007, or was it 2005? I think it was 2007.
Back then.
And everybody was singing, "Aaron, shake that Laffey taffy, shake that
Yes,
Laffey
yes.
taffy."
Yeah, we were singing that. I love Aaron Laffey, and I was so mad when they got rid of him for Chad Durbin. It was still like when you talk about the worst moves ever, like you said, the Stephen Wright thing to Boston for Lars Anderson was bad. And it wasn't a trade. They signed Chad Durbin and released Aaron Laffey to fill up that 25-man spot. And you could actually bring up Russ Kanzler in that too, what happened this year. But this happened 2 years ago now, I think. Just signing Chad Durbin, and he was terrible the year before they signed him. He was awful the entire season, and they lost Laffey for that.
Yeah,
And there's
that was
no reason
bad.
they couldn't have kept him. And this year, who they kept David Huff. They all through the offseason, they're like, oh, we're gonna keep David Huff because he's out of options. Just like Lou Marcin's out of options. They're like, oh, we're gonna keep Lou Marcin on the 40-man roster. They lost two pitchers to the Rule 5 draft. If they had just put Marcin and Huff on waivers back then, nobody would have picked them up back then, and they could have saved the two pitchers they lost. I think one of them was Hector Rondon. So they really could have helped themselves out just by putting these guys on the taking them off the 40 man. There's nobody that wants either of them. So if you still want them, keep them. Fine, whatever. It's not like anyone else is in there. Well, that's enough of that tripe. We'll try to do better next time, but until then, have a nice day.